some of you that got lost on the illustration of the calf tied to the donkey, I went to the farmer and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm teaching the donkey to lead." I said, "How's that?" "Well," he said, "I got a 110-pound daughter. It's going to take him to the 4-H fair. And if a 100-pound calf decides to turn to the right, and my daughter doesn't want him to, I want him to know that much jerk on the reins will stop him." So all day he was tied to the donkey to learn how to be led. So that's, as I say, that was my philosophy in the time that I had with the men. They'd tie him to the donkey all summer. They would learn leadership. But, for those that didn't grow up on the farm, I've learned I have to illustrate my farm stories. The topic this morning is how to know God's will. And the scripture I've chosen is Hebrews 11th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. It's a chapter we often think of as an example of the faith. But in each case, I want you to notice the decisions that came out of their faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, begin with verse 3. It isn't just they were faithful and God said, "You're faithful and that's nice." It's something that they decided to do for God. And that the question this morning we're looking at is how to know God's will for my life. Hear God's will for the life of the faithful as you find it in Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known. Came to a time in his teenage years. No more riding of the water skis on the Nile River with the king's outfit there. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of his sin for a season. He regarded, it was God's will for him, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And it goes on down, leaving individuals to people. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea and on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched. That was God's will for them. Marched around for 7 days. Back to Rahab. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then it simply says, I could tell you about all the rest there. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice, and they gained what was promised. Well, they weren't saved by works, but their faith made them sensitive to living in God's will. Well, we could read ahead, but I just wanted to call that to your attention as we started off today, to notice when God looks down and sees a faithful people, it's a people that knew what to do and how to follow God's will, and they did. Difficult to know how to make this not just a workshop on learning God's will, but as I looked at the continuing age of your wee ones that used to be gathered here to now young men and women, many of them off to college, high school, maybe it is appropriate that we stop to help these young people have some mechanics or have some system as to how to determine God's will for their life. Well, it certainly begins with redemption. There's no way that we can talk about finding God's will out here. Less 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of Christ that he might instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. To talk about the will of God when a person doesn't have the mind of Christ is just to go into a Boy Scout camp and talk about how to build fires. Now, this is different. We start with the mind of Christ. Following that is a recognition and a submission that's in Jeremiah 18:6. As the potter, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. What a blessing it is when you're raising three children like we have in our years, to know that their decisions cannot go beyond the potter's hand. What ability that gives to parents to sleep and to rest. And you young people need to know you can try and fight your way out of God's will, but you won't make it. The Apostle Paul tried. Oh, you can be very disobedient and bring a lot of God's wrath, but he's got you in his hand. He will direct you if you'll go to him. Now, I suppose theologically we need to start off with what is God's will. There's three different kinds. There's a perfect will, then there's a permissive will, and there's a prevailing will. And this introduces the workshop later on how to find. The perfect will, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some have likened knowing the will of God to, one can be vaguely in the will of God, maybe it's as wide as this pulpit is here, but here's the center of God's will. And many people are a part of the church, and they're part of the prayer groups, and they're part of the youth groups. But we're talking this morning about how to get over here in the center of God's will. The perfect will of God. Second is the permissive will. And again, what a confidence there is that God only allows bad decisions to go so far. Exodus 12:23. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptian, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frames. He'll pass over the doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. In the midst of preaching on God's will and speaking on God's will, it is my privilege to say he won't permit things to happen to you, even when you make stupid mistakes. He's there. He's got you like clay is in the hand of the potter, and he controls everywhere his judgment goes. And last, the prevailing will. God's ultimate purpose is going to get done. He's on the throne. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the man's heart, but is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So with those foundational kind of comments, let's go on to just some of the practical ways that some of us who have faced decisions have been helped in making those decisions. About six steps that I would mention, and somebody handed me this particular poem about where things are, people making decisions. See if somebody handed it on to somebody else after they handed it to me. Okay, well, we'll leave that one go. But one of the handouts that I got, had the opportunity to preach in Ireland recently, was this kind of a send-out after 9/11 came. We were over there and saw that happen on Irish television, saw the towers come down. The embassy made sure they hunted up every American in Great Britain they could find, and they sent out an announcement. And it starts off something like this. This is God's will for you, according to the United States government, or it's thereabouts. And remind the U.S. citizens the continued threat of terrorist actions. They may target U.S. citizens. And to update potential threats, they go ahead to say, terrorists do not distinguish between civilian targets and residential areas. Watch out for places, particularly places of worship. There's a heightened state of personal security awareness when attendance at such locations is unavoidable. And that was in the middle of being there 3 months, where I was a pastor of one of our churches. The balcony sat 100. And I was there seeking in that community to bring people in to hear about Christ and the Lord, and they wanted me to watch it. What a pleasure it is to know that I'm in the hollow of His hand. I'm clay in His hand. Would I disappear? No, I wouldn't disappear. Wouldn't disappear because of the things of Christ. And a little bit of the biblical bleeds over when I see the bumper sticker beside the American flag when it says, "These colors don't run." And neither do men when they go out and they believe it's God's will to stand publicly and see their name in the paper. Here's an American showing up and living in the community. They go ahead. All people have decisions to make. What is God's will for my life? You know, you can make wrong decisions. If you walk across the Washburn University campus, there's a monument to a wrong decision. Out of the 45 football players who are on their way to play Wyoming, 33 of them died on a mountain in Colorado along with their coaches. He was used to flying in Kansas. The air was heavier in Kansas and the planes went up faster, and he thought he would just take off and go across the mountains onto Wyoming. And the monument is there with the names of the entire football squad. A few of the others were left, maybe 12 were left. A monument to the wrong decision. Wouldn't that be sad if that was what was on your tombstone? A monument to something that was wrong. And so to avoid this, let me suggest these five or six ideas. Number one, make certain the decision is not contrary to the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Be observed to do according to all that is written therein." You want to know God's will? Start off with doing what's written in the Word of God. It immediately deals with whether I would consider the dating and the marrying of an unbeliever. It's there in the Word of God. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. What partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony hath Christ with Belial? What is a believer in common with an unbeliever? And so lives that come to me, in one case, this believing member, young lady in the congregation, had announced her engagement to this man. They thought I would participate in the wedding, and I had the unpleasant task of saying, "No, we in the session don't perform weddings of believers and unbelievers." So number one in seeking out God's will is make certain that the Bible, that you're following it. Number two is openly confess your willingness to follow God's revealed will. When the Bible says, "Let any man who is willing to do His will, if any man is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether I be of God or whether I speak of myself." John 7:17. God, in the midst of a sovereign group of people where God's working totally in our lives, enabling us by His grace to become children of God, He says, "If you want to know my will, begin to do it." Sounds like works, doesn't it? No, it's biblical. Openly confess your willingness to follow. If any man is willing to do His will, you'll know. And we read this chapter on faith of these people that were doing, and as they did it, God said, "That's the faith I've been looking for." Not just pronounce you faithful. You go and you willingness to follow. The little boy that has been given an assignment by mother to practice the piano for half an hour. In about 15 minutes, she hears both hands fall down on the keys, and here he comes. "Mother, what can I do?" "Well," she says, "you can practice the piano." "Oh, what else?" "Well, that's it. For half an hour, you'll practice the piano." Well, he goes back in and punks a few more notes, and then pretty soon comes back in. "Mother, what can I do?" She says, "You can practice the piano." God works that way. People that are not willing to do what they know to do, they don't tell them what to do the next chapter. And some lives are coming to God and say, God, I'd like to know what to do in this case. And God says, you know what to do over here. Let's see you do it over here first. Then we'll talk about revealing to you. Openly confess your willingness to follow. I heard an old-timer say that this fellow was dating this girl and he was very smitten by her, and he didn't know how to ask the question. And it came in one lovely evening. He turned to her and he said, Mary, if I were to ask you to marry me, would you say yes? She looked back at him. She said, try it and see. God is saying, try it and see. We're going to go through, God, if I did this and this and this, would you? He said, how about trying it and going out on faith? That's what faith is trying it and see. Number three, avoid any area of decision that would compromise your testimony. 1 Corinthians 6 is still there. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by any. Come again to the responsibility of what we do as we're being watched. We can go into the taverns and drink our 7-Up and our orange juice each night with the boys. But if some are watching, they'll probably be confused as to what we're doing and why we're going in there. This doesn't mandate our lives. This is not the only point in knowing God's will, but it's one of the points. All things are lawful, but they may not be profitable. You may say, God's word told me to do this, and I'll do this. I'll do this right in front of those other people. I don't care. And God says, will that really be profitable? Is that God's will for you to be that way in front of those people? So you have the better translation of Scripture. And the announcer will read in unison, and you read yours loudly. That's another translation because it's God's will. God says, is that profitable? We have a congregation that is no more because they revised the psalm book for singing and changed some of the tunes, and they came and they sang loudly from the old book. That congregation is no more. Is it profitable? Is it that necessary to establish a beachhead on those kind of things? The Bible says in Hebrews 14:19, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It's good not to eat meal or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Avoid areas of compromise. Think others when you think God's will. Fourth, actively seek the advice and counsel of mature believers. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fail. The people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We read of Samson, and the time came when he was going to go and find a bride, and he saw Delilah. So naturally, he came to his parents, the best counsel in the world for you young people. And he didn't come to ask. The Bible says, he turned to them and said, Delilah, get her for me. She pleases me well. And then read that encounter of these older people saying, Samson, she's an unbeliever. She's a member of this tribe. He said, get her for me. She pleases me well. That's why you put in finding God's will, the need to go to counselors. Those that will be up front with you saying, that can't be God's will. Not at this point in her life. She doesn't know the Lord. Actively involve the counsel of others. Have an account clipped out of the paper. Fellow who needed no counsel. Age 33. And there's all ages in this. Don't let me just talk to the young people. It's the account of, the police said that this fellow went to the girlfriend's house and to impress her in San Pedro Thursday night, inflated 45 6-foot weather-tall balloons with helium and attached them to her aluminum lawn chair. Tethered to the ground. He got on and all the tethers broke. So then they have this account. The regional safety inspector said the flying lawn chair was spotted by TWA and Delta at 16,000 feet above sea level out the window of the airplane. The chair finally, this account, he says, I know it sounds strange, but it's true. Long Beach police said Rod Mickelson, age 33, said after he stopped laughing, this guy just filled up the balloons with helium, strapped on a parachute, grabbed a BB gun, and took off. And he said at the end, he came down tangled in power lines and hung there and blacked out half the community, but they got him down. Since I was 13 years old, I've dreamed of going up in the clear blue sky in a weather balloon. By the grace of God, I fulfilled my dream, but I wouldn't do it again. You don't need counsel. You know how to fill weather balloons. You know how to go out and do dumb things. Sometimes they're very dumb, and they're life-threatening. This man lived through it, and they didn't have to write his obituary. Learn who your counselor. Learn a friend. Learn somebody that won't always agree with you. One that you can go to and say, I just am looking at this and wondering God's will on it and wonder if you'd help me. Remember being an assistant football coach up there in Quinter, and this one fellow quit football. And I went to Rick and I said, Rick, said you haven't been out this last week? No, I says, football out there, it's just a bunch running around, me running around, all those old men yelling at me. Well, the old men were the counselors. So it was, that's the theory of it. But he had no use for that. And he quit the football, and old men yelling at him as coach. Fifth, carefully study the facts and the circumstances available to you. Let's go to Gideon. This is some of the facts. And it's not the only one. Woe be to any person that says, well, I did a Gideon in the fleece. Judges 6:39. Study the facts. Then Gideon said to God, do not let thine anger burn against me, that I may speak once again, but please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on the ground. And the Lord did so that night. Get the facts. The story of Nehemiah is a very, very blessed study of a man who got the facts. He went out by night, and he studied the wall, and he studied the broken fences, and he studied the broken gates and all the things, and he took note of that. He got the facts before he led the people to rebuild the wall. Sometimes facts come in rather direct ways. You won't believe this, but once I was smitten by a girl at a conference, and I thought Thanksgiving time would be the time to go and visit her in one of our congregations. So I showed up, and we went to church in the evening service, and then Thursday of that week, she eloped with somebody else after I came back home. That was the fact, so it wasn't too hard. After that fact, it was all over. But your facts won't be that vivid, maybe, but you'll probably have a better selection of young ladies than I had at that point in my young life. It grew greatly later, and I'm celebrating my 50th anniversary in May, the Lord willing. But get the facts. When she says no, don't spend your life going around kicking the wall. Get the facts. Sixth and last, involve your heart's desire on the matter before you. And as self-centered as this can be, the Bible still has it there. 1 Thessalonians in the 3rd chapter, as we night and day keep praying and most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Paul said, I'd give anything to go there and serve. It's just been on my heart. That's what I want to do. It's not wrong to want to do something. It's not wrong to read all about that particular automobile and say, you know, that's what I'd really like to. Then you get the facts, which is the price, and then you forget that. But nevertheless, it's not wrong to involve your heart to bring it in. Now, there's a place where the heart can go wrong, and it's a very dangerous thing to take any of these and isolate them. We read about John the Baptist and the daughter of Herodias, and her dancing pleased the king. And the king said, what's your heart's desire? She said, I'd like to have John the Baptist's head on a platter. That's my desire. That was the end of John the Baptist. And for you here, that wasn't the only young man that lost his head at a dance, but I won't get into that topic this morning. Involve your heart's desire on the matter before you. I had the privilege of being here in Oklahoma as a seminary student and was out in the Indian Mission near Apache. And Dr. D.C. Ward was in his 80s, and I was there for communion weekend. And as he drove in that day, we'd been out calling on Indian families. He stopped at the entrance. It had pillars on each side, the Indian Mission founded, this kind of thing. And he turned to me and he said, Bob, he said, the saddest day of my life will be the last day when I drive through these pillars. He wasn't there for salary. He was there because his heart was in it, and the Indians knew it. Knowing God's will. Now you can take and you can separate these and break the whole system apart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. As I said, seeing the growing age group of this area, I've taken a pastoral subject, not a church vision subject today, and I trust the Lord will bless this kind of a study together. Well, Father in God, we think of lives here, and 10 years from now, there'll be a lot of decisions made in the part of the young people here, and 10 years from now, there'll be a lot of decisions made on the older people as well. But, oh God, might they never feel isolated while in the fellowship of believers. Might they see them as the best counselors. And God, might they be listed with the faithful, not just because they have a badge, but because they made biblical decisions. Lord, because we're sinners, we get these all mixed up and we get into personal desires and we get into wrong facts and the wrong counsel. But thank you, God, that we're still in the hollow of your hand. We're clay in the Master's hand. And if we acknowledge Him, He will form us. If we're willing to be His, He will guide us. In that confidence, we preach the Lord's will and how to be in the center of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll turn to, in closing, to the praise of the 71st Psalm, Psalm 71C. Psalm 71C. But I, in lasting confidence, will hope continually, and I will add still more and more to all the praise of Thee. There's a confidence in the man who knows he walks in the will of God, or the lady who walks in the will of God. Psalm 71C, singing those three stanzas, and then following the benediction, the stanza to be sung is there on your bulletin. Let us rise as we praise God.